So, Sherry, was there any early evidence in your life that you are made like Martha?
Yeah. Well, rumor has it that when I went to preschool, I refused to nap. Like all the other kids loved after lunch laying out their little blankets and getting their stuffed animal and curling up for 2 hours. And I threw a little fit, evidently, because it was a waste of time. And it was so bad that my mom actually got, stop laughing at me. My mom actually got special permission for me to go in another room and sit and read, in other words, look at picture books, rather than have to go through the torture of laying down and napping. All these 3-year-olds were sleeping. They were slackers. What's that about?
3-year-old slackers. Yeah, I would say maybe you're a little maid like Martha, Sherry.
How about you? Any evidence about you when you were younger?
Yes. So you know that I love my home and
Yes.
I'm a nester, you know. I love fluffing and feathering. And this was true. I was very busy at this, even as a child, that I had two closets in my room. I think I actually had the master bedroom in our house. And I had two closets, and one of my closets, my mother let me kind of make my own apartment in my closet.
The
So,
executive suite.
exactly. And it was decorated and it was fluffed and feathered, even as probably a 7-year-old. So there you go. I might be made like Martha too.
Well, this is Sherry Gregory.
And I'm Amy Carroll.
And you're listening to Grit and Grace, Good Girls Breaking Bad Rules, the podcast that equips you to lose who you're not, love who you are, and live your one life well.
Today, we're processing what we learned from our interview with Katie Reed, author of Made Like Martha.
The first thing that Katie said in terms of defining what it meant to be a modern day Martha, and I was so hoping she would say something that I went, oh no, I don't identify with that at all. I must not be a modern day Martha. But no, she had to go say, we love a good checklist. And I'm like, I'm sunk.
Oh my gosh, this is like one of the themes of my life. I always tell people that I'm one of these sick people who writes down things I have already accomplished on my checklist just for the joy of checking it off.
I don't understand why that's sick. That's normal, isn't it?
Was like, when you did that big pause, I thought, what just happened? Did we lose Sherry? Hello? Hello? Are you there, Sherry?
Don't understand. Of course you do that because, yes, it's all about the check mark, right?
It is all about the check mark.
Okay, so there's good things to put to checklists, but sometimes they can kind of like go off the rails. We can take a good thing too far. How does that happen in your life?
Well, I always overestimate what I can get done and underestimate the time it will take. And so my checklists are a wee bit out of control usually. I can't get them accomplished in the time I think. So that's a con for me. How about you?
You and I are twins in that. And I knew that I had a problem with checklists when Anne Marie was 13 and she showed me the checklist she had made for the day. It was like, I don't know, it was a weekend and it was 8 pages long. Now, it was in large font, but she was 13 and she had taped them all together so it unfurled like a scroll.
All the way across the room. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my goodness, where'd she learn that? I wonder where.
That is hilarious.
You know, modern day Marthas, we're the girls who just love to get things done, but it means we also struggle with uncertainty and we struggle with that C word, Amy. The C word shows up again.
Not that word. Does
Yes.
our audience know what it is?
Control.
Control.
So, Katie talked about moving from what if, our fears and worries and anxiety over what if, to learning to trust God even if. So, what is a what if struggle that you've made some progress in?
Well, my big what if is always what if I can't contribute? And I put this in quotation marks, my fair share. And this is my fair share. I have a very high level of expectation for that. And it goes from writing. I mean, you and I are writing right now, and I'm like, what if I can't do my fair share and really carry my load to the finances in our family? You know, there's nothing like sitting with a banker and having them ask questions about your finances to feel like you are a total failure because you've been a stay-at-home mom a lot of your career. And then to even serving in my friendship, this is an area of fear for me that I won't do enough for my friends, that they're always, it feels like, doing more for me. So I've been working on this. What I'm learning is that even if, or actually even when, right, I can't contribute my fair share, the people who love me, they extend grace to me and they have a heart to serve me too, and I need to let them. So what's your what if or even if?
Well, just listening to you, that whole phrase, my fair share, I can just feel it in the pit of my stomach. I can feel that weight on my chest. That, you know, I'd really invite our listeners to kind of spend some time unpacking that for themselves. That might make a great topic to discuss in the Facebook group after the episode, because where do we get this idea of my fair share? And I'm sure we each have something different that we feel like we're failing at, whether, like you said, finances or bringing enough to a friendship, that sort of thing. So I think that is a loaded phrase. I think that's something we need to unpack over future episodes. For me, the what if is, you know, I'm going to go back to our origin story. The origin story of Grit and Grace.
Yes.
And my big what if, since my lifelong dream has been to write books, and I, you know, God gave me the privilege of writing a couple with Kathy Lipp, but then when I got the rejection a few years ago on what I thought was my best potential proposal, I was faced with the what if I never get to write a book again? What if this thing I've been dreaming of, longing for, never ever gets to happen? And that still is such a pivotal day for me when I realized, okay, it may not be a book, but even if it's not a book, even if I never get to write a traditionally published book ever again in my life, I'm still going to share this message because there's still women who need to hear it. Now, I'm not saying I'm great at that on every single day, but I look back at that. You know, you and I talk so much about our failures. I put this question in for today because I thought, let's talk about a few successes. let's talk about where we do see God moving in our lives. And it's so nice. It doesn't have to be all the time or huge, but it is nice to be able to look back and go, wow, that was a change. That was a pivot point. That was where God made a real transformation from the what if to the even if.
And the beauty of that is that Grit and Grace was born in yes. that moment that you yes. said, I'm going to share this message no matter
yep.
what.
Yep. And so we beautiful. Have reached women we would never have reached any other way. And it's been an amazing, amazing ride. Now, you said you have an example.
I got such a beautiful lesson in this just this past week. Cool. So I failed to meet a deadline for the second month in a row, which is unlike me, I will say, because I'm pretty conscientious about deadlines and my responsibilities, but I failed to meet a deadline for my devotion for Proverbs 31 again this month. If I don't put it on the calendar and I didn't, it doesn't happen. And I was scrambling and realizing I needed to provide something. And so I had this back and forth with our editor, Steph, who is just the most lovely. And she was like, hey, we got you covered. It's all good. So then I followed that up with, and here's what I wrote in my email. I'm putting writing dates on my calendar right now so that I don't let the ball drop again. So sorry, I've been unreliable in the past couple months. And the truth is, hey, I was unreliable in the past couple months. But here's how Steph answered me. She said, aw, you're too cute. In my humble opinion, you've got like 700 points in the devotion deposit. This is like maybe minus 3 points. 99.6% ain't exactly unreliable. Aww. You're all good.
Aww.
How much grace is there in that? And I realized, wow, I'm so hard on myself. But, you know, what if I don't write a devotion this month? They're going to ditch me. They're going to, you know, let me go. They're going to tell me, fine, we don't need you anymore.
Stamped. And unreliable.
Exactly. Labeled for life. And instead, Steph just extended grace to me, but also reminded me that I have built a reputation of being reliable, and missing a couple times doesn't erase all of that. I was just, wow. My soul needed that. So.
Well, and I'll bet you that's something that a lot of those of us who are made like Martha struggle with, is we forget our track record of being reliable or dependable or whatever it is. And the one failure, quote unquote failure, ends up coloring everything unnecessarily. And that's where we can be so hard on ourselves. And
exactly.
When we're that hard on ourselves, then it may translate into less grace for others too. This leads beautifully into the next thing Katie talked about, which was this idea of a receptivity deficiency. I was ready to skip this whole thing, but she said we might have a hard time receiving. And the line I loved that she said was, grace is a gift to be received, not a prize to be earned. So continuing the story that you just told, you had another great insight on this.
Well, one of the things that I've realized in the past, and I realized I did it again in this situation, is that I'll use a harsh word to label myself like unreliable, because I'm pretty sure that they're already thinking it. So if I just throw that out before they say it to me, maybe I think it'll hurt a little less, or it gives them a pass to say, yes, you are unreliable. But it just kind of is this proof that I still default to this idea of not being able to receive grace.
So basically you're going to bash yourself before they get a chance to do it. You're going to criticize yourself first. Yeah, I recognize that.
Do you have trouble receiving like I do?
No, none at all. I'm absolutely
watching. I only asked that because I already knew the answer.
Well, here's my problem is that I have such a drive to outgive. Like I want to be, and it looks generous. It looks like it's humble even, like I'm just going to be nothing but giving, giving, giving. I always want to be one up. I never want to be beholden to anyone. I don't know where the word beholden came from, but it's the word in my head, be beholden to none. And the only way to never be beholden is to always have outgiven. And of course, you know, with the A++ mentality, I can't just be one up. I need to be 10 up. Because if I'm 10 up, then I will always stay. What is this mentality? I'm explaining it to you and you're looking at me like it's very sad, because it is.
Now I'm looking at you like, oh, I get that.
Yeah. Okay, now for the fun part of the show, let's take an assessment and see how we did. This seems to be my latest thing. Here's the great news. Okay, I did my assignment. My results stink, okay?
Oh, okay. Woo! Okay, so let me ask you some questions about your results.
Exactly. I will lay down on the couch and you can be Dr. Freud. How's that? Because I'm about to not come out looking good at all.
Well, Sherry, do tell us about your hired hand assessment.
Thank you so much. I would love to, Amy. All right. So in going through and checking the things that I struggle with on the hired help mentality assessment, the ones that I checked that I was like, zing, were typically yes equals loved and no equals unloved. So in other words, if somebody says yes to me, then it means they love me. If they say no, it means they don't love me, or I feel loved or unloved. And I was like, wow. Then when I succeed, I have difficulty celebrating the achievement, quickly looking to what is next. I put a star by that one. And I resent God's boundaries for me and sometimes rebel against them. And I put a check mark by that one.
Ooh, yes, I understand. Oh, wait, no, let me rise above this. Oh, Sherry, that's too bad.
But hang on a second. Okay. So those are the ones I struggle with, the hired help mentality. So I thought, well, maybe I'll do better on the beloved daughter mentality assessment. So the ones that I couldn't check on this one, see if you sense a theme, Amy. See if you sense a theme. I could not honestly check, I believe that God's yeses and nos are for my good. Now, I would check that if he would just explain them. Let's be clear. I would believe them if he would explain them and make it crystal clear, but I have trouble believing if I don't know why. Give me the why.
Yes.
The next one. I extend grace to others because I've been shown so much grace by God. I do believe I've been shown grace by God. That part about extending it to others, we're just going to skip that completely. Next one I didn't check. I'm free to celebrate the success of others because they are not a threat to my position in Christ, nor is my position in Christ a threat to theirs. And then I did not check. I trust God's boundaries for me as safeguards and try to stay within them. So I'm sensing a theme on both of them, and I didn't do it intentionally, but I seem to struggle with celebrating, with yeses and nos, and with boundaries.
Those are hard issues. And I'm just looking. These have been sitting on my desk for a long time, by the way. So I have looked through them. But I was like, how did she get in our head? And then I'm like, oh, we're not alone. So two things, Sherry. Obviously, you are not alone in these things, right? And P.S., as your friend and somebody's walked alongside you, I see enormous growth in these areas, these very areas. So they might be your issues, but I mean, amazing growth, like you're learning and growing. So receive that. Yes.
Thank you. Okay, so I need to do what you say. I need to rub that into my heart.
Yes.
I'm going to do it, Annie. I'm going to rub it in. I'm going to rub it in. But, you know, Katie also said that these actually aren't assessments. They're not judgments. They're just an opportunity to kind of see where we're at. And so, for all my whining and moaning here, I have to admit, when I came up with similar results on each one, I was like, oh, okay, I could feel terrible about it. And that's probably what I would have done 5 years ago, 6 years ago. The perfectionism in me would have beaten me up. But, or I can choose to say, wow, I have a crystal clear short list of things to take to the Holy Spirit now, and to kind of make these themes as I'm reading scripture, as I'm reading through. I just finished reading through John, and I think I'm going to go through Luke next. And I'm going to be very carefully looking for anything and listening for anything that God might be saying to me about celebration, about yes and no, and about boundaries. Yeah, those things.
That is such a great application. So for the rest of us, when we do our assessments from Katie's awesome book, including me, we are going to look for these things and then use them as tools for better growth, more growth, and how do we study our Bibles. So that's such a great application, Sherry. It really is.
Well, the other thing I loved is that she said that rest is not a punishment inflicted upon me, which is what made me think of the whole story I started with about not napping in preschool.
That is so awesome. Three-year-old Sherry.
I will not nap. You can't make me. But we need rest. So what are you learning about rest?
I think the big thing for me is that rest for me has to be intentionally planned and preserved. Ooh. Because life is just, it is so full and it's so rich. And I use the word busy and full and rich, you know, because we're all busy. Oh, gracious, we are all so busy. But what I'm realizing is, and so I tend to overwork these days because I love what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But it's, overwork is still not good for me, no matter if I love it or not. We all need times that we're unplugged, that we're just resting, that we're having some fun, for heaven's sakes. And I'm just realizing it doesn't just happen anymore. And I haven't been good about planning those times of rest. We've talked a lot with Kathy Lipp, with Glynis Whitwer about Sabbath. I'm doing a little better at that. But I think even just planning some fun is becoming important in my life. My husband tends to overwork too. So it's not, you know, the two of us, there's not a balance. And so I'm realizing this has to be intentional.
Well, I was with you on the planning, and then you had to add preserving because I plan it and then I take it off my schedule.
You don't have time for that, Rhett.
I'm like,
me too.
I schedule it and then something, some project laps over and I'm like, I'll just kick off the rest. Who needs that? So I am now feeling convicted that I need the rest.
Well, I need to write those words on my desk someplace. Plan and preserve rest. Yes. Really, really loved talking to Katie because I've done quite a bit of teaching on Martha too. And I think it's because I am made like Martha. And so I just get tired of hearing women's ministry leaders and writers piling on Martha, for heaven's sake. So
Poor Martha.
thank goodness for Katie, who also came up with a redemptive perspective on Martha. I actually do a retreat where I lead people into all three scenes where Mary and Martha are. Yes, Martha missed it in that Martha and Mary scene, but in the second scene, it's actually Martha who goes straight to Jesus and Mary stays back. And so but nobody ever talks about that scene. Hello. So for those of you that feel like you're made like Martha and you love Martha, just remember, hey, second chances are the sweetest. They're just the sweetest. And Martha gets a second chance and she rises up and does it right. And that's where, well, even today, I need to park in that a little bit. Thankful for second chances. My favorite name for God is Redeemer. I mean, and this is what he does the best. This is where he shows himself at his most merciful and graceful. And he does that for Martha, and he'll do it for us.
I've been so excited about recording this episode because I wanted to share something my brother wrote and shared at my mother's memorial service. And my mother was a diehard Martha. I mean, she really never liked that story of Mary and Martha. Her favorite phrase was, "If everybody sits and listens, who will get the work done?" I mean, that was always her question. And so the little piece I'm about to read you, I just want to leave the caveat that it's a piece of creative writing. It's not a piece of theology, but this is something my brother wrote in honor of my mother, and he used it to close the time that he and I spent sharing some of our memories of our mother. It's called The Gospel According to Martha. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Eleanor opened her home to him. My mother's name was Eleanor. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Eleanor was joyfully preparing the Lord's favorite foods. Mary asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister is not here giving you her loving attention? Tell her to come here and sit down." "Mary, Mary," the Lord answered, "you are sitting at my feet, but your mind is judging your sister. Eleanor is loving me with her wholehearted preparation of food. She has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Mary wept and began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. The Lord said, "You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed: to love me in your own way." And it was just a different take. It didn't really happen that way. Jesus didn't really say those things. I want to be clear. I'm not trying to alter scripture, but it was another way of realizing that God has created us each differently. And one of the things I love that Katie said is that he's not trying to change our personalities, not trying to change how we're wired, that we are made like Martha, and that's a good thing.
So beautiful. And that it really aligns theologically with that last scene where Mary anoints him, but Martha, it says, was serving. And this time, Martha was using her gift with the right attitude, and there was no rebuke. There was no scene made. But she was still doing the same thing that she had been doing in the first scene, which
Yes.
I love. Yay!
All right. So, what's the scripture that you've tied in with our interview with Katie?
The scripture I chose this week was Colossians 3:2. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. And you know, when I looked at this scripture this time, because it's kind of a familiar scripture, it's thrown at us quite a bit, but I thought that that little place in between the commas, as working for the Lord, is so important because when we work for the Lord, we do it with the right motivation, with the right heart. When we're working for the Lord, it includes rest, you know, because he gave us the Sabbath. And so as working for the Lord is kind of where I wanted to focus this week, is that yet we're given work to do. And when we do it for him, it's glorious that we can celebrate being made like Martha.
I love it. So, what is the bad rule that we're breaking this in these two episodes?
Martha and I have a fatal flaw. I think we've really bought into that. Like we've seen Martha's, ooh, she has this fatal flaw. We don't want to be like Martha. Well, gosh, there are lots of flawed people in scripture that are given second chances. Hello, it's time for Martha to get her second chance.
I love it. So, what is the truth? What's the fact we can focus on instead?
Like Martha, I'm created with the gift of loving my work.
Oh, I love it. Okay, I'm going to rub that one in. This is an episode where I just get to rub truth in.
Let's
Oh,
all do it.
so
Take a
good.
moment. So, what's the grit in this, all this for you?
Oh, I can tell you what the grit is. The grit is not judging others who aren't made like Martha. I mean, I talk to Marthas all the time, and their number one struggle is they do the work and other people aren't working quite as hard. They love their work, they're serving God, they're loving people, but oh, they want to judge, or just it just rises up to judge people who aren't getting things done. And so I think the grit here is, I mean, because we don't need the grit to do the work. That comes naturally. We love to do the work. What we need the grit for here is to stay in our lane, keep focusing, to work for the Lord, and not be checking out what everybody else is or isn't doing, whether they are doing as much as we are, the way that we are, and whether they're appreciating us. We don't need recognition, but I think Marthas really do like appreciation and often don't get it. So I think not judging and not resenting the lack of appreciation, at least for me, those both take grit.
Oh, that resonates with me too. And I feel like, as far as the grace part, that every gift has an upside and a downside. And the grace for me is not focusing on the downside of loving our work, because I can get there really, really fast. And so we need to extend Martha some grace, and we need to extend ourselves some grace as we work through the downsides of our gift.
Head on over to gritandgracegirls.com/episode 110.
That's where you'll find this week's transcript, our Digging Deeper download, the Bible verse art, and you'll have a chance to enter a giveaway for Made Like Martha.
Come join our Facebook page and our Facebook group where we'll continue this discussion of being made like Martha.
Next week, we'll be talking to Maria Furlow, so don't miss that. She's the author of Breaking the Fear Cycle.
For today, grow your grit. Embrace God's grace. And when you run across a bad rule, you know what to do. Go right on ahead and break it.
Okay, so hopefully you can edit this out because all of a sudden I'm like breaking into a cold sweat. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm unreliable again because this is on my to-do list, but both of my boys are home and I didn't do it. Now I know you're not editing that out. I am sweating. Oh my gosh. Okay.
I love this so much. Okay, so can you even find it on your computer, or do I need to read you the questions, Amy?
I have your photos on my computer.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. But those are only part of the quiz. I only sent you little snippets of the quiz. Okay, for our listeners, Amy has now fallen on the floor.
On the desk.
Okay,
My deodorant has failed.
Okay, Amy, that possibly could be TMI, but hey, it's all good. Okay, so I'm going to be the A student who presents her project to the class. Clearly, your thumb drive is back at home. You don't get to present today, Amy.
This is terrible for my self-esteem, but makes a great episode. Awesome.
Okay. And I don't have Kleenex handy, and I'm crying. I'm laughing so hard. All right. But of course, here's the great news. Okay, I did my assignment. My results stink, okay?
Oh, okay.
So
Woo! Okay, so let me ask you some questions about your results.